Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
G'day, you legends. Daniel Thomas here. Thank you so much for tuning in to Supercharge Mojo. This is my conversation with Adrian Knight. Adrian is an entrepreneur. He's very successful in business acquisition. In this conversation, we really honed in on his personal journey, his morning routine, the stuff he's doing that has driven his success. We talked a lot about our own shifts in terms of choosing not to drink alcohol. I really felt a relatable connection with Adrian given our personal journeys, and it was so awesome to chat to him. So hope you get a kick out of this one, guys. Let's get into it.
Where did it kind of, you consider yourself an entrepreneur, right? You consider yourself quite entrepreneurial.
Definitely.
Did you always have that type of drive?
Yeah, so really sort of 13 years old, I've always had that entrepreneurial bug. And I've always seen myself as not necessarily like working like a 9-to-5 in the stereotypical sense. I started my business sort of ventures quite early at 13. I started with a paper round. By 15 years old, I had 5 paper rounds, but I'd franchised them out, and I was working in the paper shop and signing new accounts, and I ended up winning Paper Boy of the Year in Hampshire. And kind of went from there, really. And then as I got into my latter teenage years, I started to get a bit more, I suppose, organized and serious about business. But then I started to hit a lot of personal hurdles. I had a nervous breakdown when I was 19. I went into my early 20s in a deep state of depression. Then I sort of worked through various addictions and alcohol, and I've been alcohol free for just over 5 years now, and it's been sort of the best decision I've ever made, and all of these other stuff. And so the business growth and success, particularly in the recent few years, has been a direct reflection and correlation on my own personal growth and personal journey. And the penny dropped last year when I'd actually exited one of the businesses that I had, the first business I bought. So I had sold it and had loads of free times in my hands. And so I was really overweight. I was unhealthy. The business had been a success, but everything else around me wasn't. So I started prioritizing my health, my fitness, my family, and myself above everything else. And that's when everything really took off, from a business perspective. And then the penny dropped. I'm like, there's a connection here. I don't know if that answers the question.
No, that's awesome. That's awesome, man. It's so cool to hear. the paperboy thing comes up a bit with guests. It's classic. And I was a paperboy as well. And it's almost like when you go into the, it's like that perfect first job that like just throws you out there because you're getting up early, you're having to deal with people, you're sort of learning so young, like the realities of it. And it seems to attract a certain type of character who has done that when they're young. But what you're saying is just so relatable personally, actually, because it's not to bring it back to me, but it's a similar trajectory in that I stopped drinking around the same time about 5 years ago. Okay. And like you're saying, it sounds like when you were so focused on the business venture, that piece of the pie of all areas of life was kind of impacting on the other ones, and it was kind of out of whack. And like you say, when you got all that more balanced and focused on the priorities of well-being and family and so on, it then knocked on in a positive way to the business, which is awesome and also counterintuitive to some of the traditional models of grind, just go all in on the business. Don't worry about your health. Don't worry about your well-being. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about the choices you're making to kind of alleviate stress, but just keep hammering the business. Then lo and behold, you kind of flip your priorities and everything starts to benefit, which is really cool.
It's so true, because I was so fiercely, and I still am, like I was so fiercely ambitious, but also strong-willed that, like, business, like it was all throughout my 20s and going into my early 30s, it was all, that was the mentality. And then there was sort of like little periods when I wasn't like that, and I noticed steps forward, but I didn't make the correlation. And then it was only last year when I was in a situation where all of a sudden I had loads of free time that the penny started to drop. And I was looking back in hindsight, and I'd worked from home for like the previous 18 months, but I was seeing my daughter for less than an hour a day. Mm. I'm like, this is so wrong. Like, her bedroom's literally behind my home office. And I was like, this is so wrong. And I think all of that combines just, you just come to a different place in life and you realize actually this what I thought was what you had to do was not right. So
I don't reckon like the ambition and the drive is an awesome trait to have, but it's just that focus of like that spread of energy. And yeah, the kids stuff is massive. Like just you know, the quality of time with children. I have a son also, and it's just focusing on that quality time with him has only benefited me more in terms of work. And for a long time, because I'm a creative person, all my hours kind of blended, the weekends blend, and I didn't really have a clear structure, because, you know, with creativity and art, things can get a little bit like exponential. But actually the more kind of practical I've got with it, the clearer idea he had of time, and that has made my time with him more valuable. And it sounds like in your case it's similar, in that shifting that focus again benefits what you're doing like professionally.
Yeah, and I can so resonate and relate to that. And what I've actually found is, I mean, I've now got myself into a place where I have a very structured approach to my day. And I mean, the first like 3.5-4 hours, I get up early. I'm up at 4 a.m. and I execute a certain sort of pre-thought routine. I work out and I read and I meditate and I do a number of other things all before Evie's got up. And so by the time it's like 7:30 and she's waking up, I'm coming into the day a completely different and higher version of myself, and I'm doing that every single day, 7 days a week. And it's had the most significant knock-on effect. Our relationship is deeper than ever, relationship with my wife. And the business was just almost like an added bonus. It just exploded. Mm. And I was like, this is just crazy. Like, how does this work?
Oh, amazing, man. Amazing. How did you go about kicking the booze?
So it was a long time coming for me. So when I went to university when I turned, I was just about turning 20 and only lasted 3 weeks because I looked around and saw everyone around me and I was like, I can't see this as my future. But I'd started a student business there and I ended up staying for 3 years and this business grew. And so we done a number of things, but one of the things that we done was we were running the student event nights in Reading. And so we had 4 event nights where we were running it, getting all the students in, loads of free drinks, loads of party and after parties. And we were the center of it. I mean, it was amazing. But that created a relationship with alcohol where it was a high degree of fun and socializing associated with alcohol. And that carried on through my 20s. But then as I was coming into about 10:30 and sort of my early 30s, I'm 37 now, 38 in a couple of weeks, I started to really assess my relationship, like what value was I getting from alcohol. And I was coming home and I started my business and I was stressed and I'd have a drink or a couple of drinks and it wasn't doing what it used to do in those sort of earlier environments. And so I'd been Googling around and I was fascinated with people who had gone teetotal. But I tried it, but I could never quite do it. But I was also becoming increasingly aware of, I think I had a deep, well, I know for a fact I had a deeper problem, like a deeper issue with alcohol there. Like I couldn't just have one drink. And I'm ashamed to say it now, but the amount of times I was drunk driving, like significantly under the influence. And I got to a point where I realized if I didn't stop, like I couldn't just have one, like I had to stop. If I couldn't do that, then I would either end up killing myself or worse, someone else. And so that fed into it. And then it happened almost by accident. I went to a friend's, he had a barbecue and we had some drinks that night. It wasn't even that heavy. We just had some drinks. But the next day, the hangover was just so severe. Mm. There and then I was going to stop the alcohol for 30 days. I got to the 30 days. I was like, I really like this. I'm going to go for 3 months. So I have 2 more months to go. When I got to about 60, 65 days in, I was like, I'm going to do a whole year of being alcohol free. And I was so committed to it. But then come about 6 months into that, I was like, I'm done. Like I'm going through the motions now in my mind. I am done with alcohol. And that was an eye-opener because it gave me the insight that success is subtraction. And this had always been a big puzzle for me, but I realized it was when I was taking away the vices, the things like the smoking, the cigarettes and the alcohol, that's when everything moved forward in my life. Like within 12 months of giving up alcohol, my business had quadrupled in size, like revenue and team. The relationship with my partner at the time, she's now my wife, was getting deeper. Like my relationships improved across the board. I'm like, there's something connected to this because I also noticed it with smoking as well. When I gave that up, everything moved forward. So,
Man, it just really resonates because just such similarities. I think as driven, ambitious people, the one of the issues with alcohol is it just kind of clouds us and holds us back. Like purely on a, as you say, on a physical level, like waking up on the back foot, it just clouds you from being in that position where you can like fully thrive. And I had the same priority shift, and it was exactly the same. I said, I'm going to do a month. And then after the month, I was like, I think I'll roll on. And then next thing you know, it was 5 years. But I heard someone say actually an interesting thing recently that they're always asked how did they quit drinking? But it wasn't so much about that moment of quitting. It was about the lead up to that. They needed to be in a position where they were ready. And that really resonated with me because it wasn't, I think sometimes people think I instantly just kind of stopped it overnight. But I had been very ready for a long time. I was just struggling to, get on top of it. And then when I was really ready, I did what you did and took those steps. And then next thing you know, but did you find it,
really challenging in those early months, particularly socially and at events?
It was so. Again, I completely agree and resonate. Like the lead up was so important. And in hindsight, I can see now, and I don't think this just applies to alcohol, this applies to smoking and other forms of addiction. It was all mindset. It just, I wasn't in the mindset. I had the desire to give up alcohol previously, but I wasn't in the mindset to actually execute it, because the execution of it was very simple. And so situations where, like social situations, probably the scariest thought of giving up alcohol is, well, how am I going to manage social situations? They were far easier than I thought they would be. They were far easier. I felt a little uncomfortable and discomfort, but I was so in my mind, I was proud I wasn't drinking. Mm. But I was genuinely proud, and I was looking around, and for the first time I started to see the reality of those social situations with like a fresh pair of eyes, rather than the sort of clouded pair of eyes. And also what I noticed from that, I don't know if you experienced the same, but I had some like my relationships shifted. So I had relationships with people who, like mates who I'd grown up with, we'd always been really close. But then when I gave up alcohol, some of those, most of them, not all of them, but dropped some off. Like, yeah, they started to just crumble away. And I sort of realized actually those relationships were based on the alcohol. There wasn't much else there. Like, did you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's a real common, and it's really confronting, because you not only are you kind of grappling with it, then you realize that a lot of the relationships you thought had legs don't, and that you were just providing something for that person, like being a source of entertainment or whatever. Yeah. And as soon as you weren't that to them anymore, they were out. But then there was the realization of how important that was, in terms of there was no substance to those relationships, and that perhaps they had to fall away, and then refocusing into the ones that truly mattered. But with the social situations, like you, I found myself, took me a while before I started taking ownership of it and being confident in my, because, you know, I mean, Brits and Aussies, right? We grow up like, man, Australia, you grow up like you drink like the world's ending when you're young, right?
And so true.
when I was young, it was like, if you went out and said you weren't drinking, you had to fight to like defend yourself as to why you were. Obviously, it's a bit different when I'm older. And actually here in Germany, there is a different relationship to alcohol, particularly with the youth. But anyway, I found, you know, because you get the question at a party and there's sort of the, did you have a problem thing? Mm. And then when you just kind of take ownership of it and say, this is a choice and I'm embracing it and I can have fun without it. And, you know, and when you're honest about like why you were, you know, using it to kind of socially lubricate or whatever. The more I've done that, I don't know if you found, but I've also had people when I least expect it sort of asking me, hey man, like, how'd you go about that? You know, and I didn't really expect that. Like I don't really think, I'm at the point now where I don't often think about it at a social event, but then someone will come up to me and say, how did you do that? You know, do you find that
always? So I've done 3 stag do's sober. And to your point about, you know, Aussies and Brits, like our stag do's are just something else. It's you know, watch out. It's entirely alcohol fueled. And so to do 3 of them sober, and what was the biggest surprise for me was I was very comfortable in my skin on I'm not drinking, like, and I'm doing this for me. I was comfortable from that. I was a little nervous about what the other's going to think, but I was more comfortable with, no, this is, I'd already seen the benefits of not drinking. But what surprised me is every single one of those 3 stag do's, I had at least one person spend the whole weekend or 2, you know, 2-3 days, because there's always like extended, you know, drink as long as you can. like the whole weekend, they would be asking, well, what's it like and how do you do this? And all of the questions would be around like being alcohol free. Mm. And it's clear that it was on their mind and they liked the idea of it, but they had those final sort of, they were in their lead ups, like the final sort of.
Yeah, as we were hurdles. Saying before. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly that. And it's, I'm not surprised anymore, but I was at the beginning because you go in feeling, certainly on the first one, you go in feeling as like the one that sticks out and the odd farm, and how are you going to break it to everyone? Because there's normally people you don't know there that you're the non-drinker. But I was surprised to see the actual, like the friends, the real people respected the fact that I wasn't drinking. And then there was those, a couple who were like intrigued, and then those who thought it was an absolute sin not to be drinking. And no surprise, we spent the whole weekend not talking to each other and avoiding each other. And yeah, so
I think
it's not as scary as it, I think it felt in the minds, reality.
A classic thing with dudes that I've heard also is that if it's posed as a challenge, it's like, yes, man, you can do it. You know, so I think if it's framed as I'm challenging myself not to drink, sometimes that's viewed as a bit more, because there's dudes for some reason we like, yeah, man, come on. It's just really, I think there's a kind of maybe some sort of, it's not like a, you know, some kind of hip or trendy thing, but there does seem to be a shift, particularly in dudes to get like, to rein this in a bit, I think. I've kind of noticed.
I've definitely noticed that. And again, like growing up and actually being a part of a major drinking culture, like the student nights we were running, I mean, we were dealing with thousands of students, like in, and like non-students and their friends.
You guys were the center, like you said. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly that. And that culture was all based around the alcohol and who could, you know, drink the most and end up in the most awkward sort of situations. And yeah, you know, there was some fun times. I'm not going to deny that, because there was, but it surprised me as when I'd already made my decision. So the last like years, as my businesses have grown and I've started to hire, you know, I've hired more people and the younger people coming in who were, you know, our age back then, and they barely drink. And they, you know, rarely drink. And if they go out for drinks, it's like two, maybe three. Whereas we'd be having that and the rest before we'd even gone out. It's like there's a shift taking place. And there's definitely that shift taking place. And I'm fascinated to see what it looks like when we're, you know, old age, hopefully, and seeing the like where the culture shifted, because I think it would have all but gone, actually, the drinking culture, which is madness to sort of think.
When you say you were, you know, you were using it to perhaps avoid some deeper stuff, how did you go about working on that stuff?
Well, such a good question. As I started to remove the numbness, like from the alcohol, and I was smoking quite a lot of like marijuana as well, and just anything that would dumb down and numb those sort of feelings. As I started to remove those vices, a lot of stuff came up quite naturally, and I just sort of worked through each piece as it came up, and there seemed to have been like a rhythm to, like, it wasn't everything came up at once. It was like this one thing might have happened, and and so I'd start addressing that. But I suppose a good example was where quite a big change happened was actually early last year. So I've been alcohol free for, you know, a long time, but I was suffering from an increasing amount of anxiety, and in the start of last year it was to the point where I was waking up at 2-3 in the morning having an extreme anxiety and panic attack, absolutely convinced everything was imploded and everything was coming in, and just laying there for a good hour and a half, 2 hours with sheer dread, until eventually sort of coming out of that and sort of realizing actually it's okay. Maybe not, you know, what you thought, maybe, you know, actually isn't the case whatsoever. And so that was quite a major turning point for me in my journey, because it propelled me to seek outside help, to go and see a therapist, and to start looking at my life through another pair of eyes, really, and having that safe space to open up. And that's when I think the curtains really started to pull back, and I started to make some major changes in my approach to me, and so this sort of knocked on from there, really.
Yeah, no, I mean, it takes, I always think it takes courage to have somebody have an objective look who's not like emotionally attached to you, can just, you know, bounce stuff off, and they can see things objectively. But like you say, the numbing of everything, it's so destructive, because you're just numbing yourself from working through that stuff. It's just unravels, and the more you numb it, the worse, you know, the more it's going to kind of push. That's why, not to make the entire episode about alcohol, but it's really relative, because taking those steps, as you say, to allow the stuff to come through, when you're just numbing yourself, you're not like, we're not even allowing that to like even come to the surface, because it's too hard, right? It's too difficult.
It's exactly that. And I sort of work with just a handful of people who've sort of approached me over the last sort of 6 months or so, who have been a little bit closer to, in proximity to my life, and seen how things have changed, and seeing how I turn up to things. And I'm very active on Instagram, and sort of sharing, like, this is like just giving people like a real insight into what my days and life looks like. And I was literally having this conversation last night with one of them, who is having a real hard time sleeping and is highly anxious and highly stressed and got all of these like different problems going on in his life. And his solution was that he was over the moon because he had been prescribed medication from the doctors. And I'm like, it's not the right approach. And we had a 2-hour conversation going back and forth. I was like, you're numbing it. You're not dealing with the core issues here. And it applies to sort of the alcohol, the smoking, like the anything. They're numbing. You're not, like, they're an illusion. They're not going to fix the problem. You need to take that away so you can actually have the clarity to see the issue.
Yeah, no, I was always pretty determined. I mean, I had anxiety when I was young and stuff, and I was, you know, perhaps a similar thing. I was just like, I was just keeping myself so unbelievably busy that I was depleted, and I was keeping myself busy to avoid what we're saying, dealing with some of the stuff. And I just burnt out, was in an anxious state, but within that, I was very determined not to get medicated. And I'm not denying the, you know, chemical imbalances and things like that. That's, I don't know about that stuff. I wouldn't advise anybody not to do what they need to. But me personally, I was like determined, because I was like, whatever this is, the worst thing I can do is flatline it. If I flatline it, that ain't dealing with it. So I'm quite proud of myself that I kind of rode the lightning, call it that. Never went that. But of course, I was self-medicating for a long time with exactly, as you say, excessive behavior. But like you said before, it is all mindset. It's just all mindset.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare,
a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
It really is, not just in terms of, but it's mindset in terms of being able to move past that, and then it's mindset in terms of being able to use it as a like a propellant, like a catalyst for being able to project yourself all into this whole different level of living and life. And it's I've never really appreciated the importance of mindset until I've started applying it, consciously applying it into my life and framing up how I approach the day. So I go in with that stronger mindset, and I've seen the implications and knock-on effect of that. Before, I just thought it was something that, sport coaches and highly professional, like world sports champions would talk about, mindset, but it's not. It's applicable to all of us, and it can literally make the difference in sort of quality or high quality or low quality standard of living.
And often the things that are, to call it the symptoms, even in a business sense, like you say, it might be tricky for someone to realize that actually, like, the business suffering is actually a symptom of the mindset stuff, or, like we started with, it's like get the kind of house in order, your own personal stuff, and then suddenly the business stuff is easier to manage and handle, doesn't get on top of you, whereas it's easy to get caught in the symptoms, you know what I mean?
100%. And I have this conversation so much with people because they ask, because I've got a very, I say regimented, it's the best part of my day, but I'm up at 4 a.m. Mm. And for a lot of people, they're like, how do you get up at 4 a.m.? And I can hand on heart say, I go to bed every night looking forward to getting up at 4 for that first part of the day, because it is genuinely the best part of my day. And in that time, those sort of three and a half hours, I'm exercising, I'm meditating, I'm reading, I'm doing a number of things that what I'm really doing, it's not about finishing a book or like physically going to the gym and looking in a particular way, is I'm shifting my mindset to a place where the Adrian that got up at 4 a.m. may have been like a level 3, but come 7:30 a.m., the Adrian going into life is more like a level 7, level 8, or level 8. So I've witnessed this over time and experienced this. So I'm going in and I'm a better dad. So my daughter gets up, and the relationship with my daughter has deepened to I can't even begin to explain. I'm a better partner. Then I'm going into my businesses, and if I'm going into a business meeting, I'm sitting there as like a level 7, level 8 version of me, but the other people sitting there are there like level 2, 3s, and 4s. So it's having a very practical and tangible knock-on effect. And if it's down to you're looking to do a deal, you're looking to win a particular contract, and it's you versus a couple of others, you're always standing out because you're turning up as a better and higher version of yourself. But that's all come from the morning component, which was all about the mindset, essentially, and doing that. And I never used to do that. It used to be the complete opposite. It's to get up at around 5 a.m., so it's still early, straight onto emails. And I thought that I was would get more done, but over a period of months, I got myself to a place where I was so down, like just so ground down, that was eventually the precursor to the middle of the night anxiety and panic attacks. And so it's just, it's the mindset. It's everything. It's everything.
Amazing, man. What a way to roll into the day, like fully charged. Like compare that to starting the day with a Red Bull and a cigarette. But that's an awesome analogy, that the scale, you're coming in at a 7 because of what you've done. It must be an awesome time as well in that early when it's still and dark and quiet and so on. I used to have this a penny dropped for me, because when I was relentlessly working and in a corporate kind of world and kind of a little bit misaligned with what I was doing, I always had this Sunday night depression, you know? Mm. And I was like, after years of Sunday night depression, I was like, Sundays do not have to be depressing. It's not Sunday that's the problem. It's what you're doing with your Monday. And I was like, I actually want to be happy on a Sunday night, and I want to roll into Monday excited for what I'm doing. And it took me like so many years before I could eliminate that. I'm like, that it doesn't have to be there. And I had a lot of friends who had it like, oh, Sunday. And I was like, it doesn't have to be like that. And I don't get up so early, but you're actually inspiring me to maybe give it a crack in terms of getting up, doing the 4 a.m. thing.
So I never started there. And so again, this is something that a lot of people ask me, because I post my whole like routine and structure on my Instagram stories, because I want it to inspire and to move people and to just for them to see this is how I'm living, and you know, if this is kind of what happens and what my days look like. And so a lot of people ask about the early morning wake ups, and I definitely didn't start there. And I normally say to people, like, start at 6 a.m. if you're not getting up at that early anyway, and then essentially start working yourself back in like 15 minute chunks. So I started at 6 a.m. I think a couple of years ago, and then I wanted to start reading. So I get up a little bit earlier to do the reading, and then a little bit more, and then a little bit more. And then before I knew it, I sort of found myself at 4 a.m. I mean, the reality is I'm actually up earlier. It's normally somewhere between 3:30, 3:45, but my alarm's set for 4 a.m. every single day. And the first thing I do is take a screenshot and post it on Instagram with a quote of the day, which gets me moving and like people who sort of follow, like, gets them going as well. But then it's straight into the routine. And so it's normally finished about 7:30, give or take, if I'm sort of chatting at the gym to anyone. But I honestly, words cannot express how much this has changed my life, like from a well-being perspective, from a relationship with my family, but tangibly as well in terms of like my businesses and what I do there. When I really fixed this and focused on this and as my number one priority above everything else, to my great surprise, like I was more surprised than anyone, things just took off. And fortunately, I had the mindset and the energy to try and keep up with it all. And it's crazy.
I like the tangible 15-minute blocks, because often like you could draw parallels with that with many things, because often it's like if you say, oh, tomorrow I'll just try getting up at 4 a.m., it might not happen because it's a bit too big of a jump. It's almost like writing, like write a word, write a sentence, write a paragraph, write a page. It's this tangible bite-sized pieces. So like you're saying, knock it back each time by 15 minutes. That sounds actually like, it's like, oh, I can do that. I can manage that. Whereas if it's like, oh, on Wednesday, just get up at 4 a.m. and do 3 hours of, that's like, it's a bit daunting. So your strategy there is pretty cool.
Again, I get so many people who say, they literally say, I'm going to go up at 4 a.m. or 5 or 5:30, and it just doesn't happen. And I want to see people succeed with this. I'm like, why don't you just start 15 minutes, but make sure that 15 minutes is for you. Like, you're not staying in bed, you're not snoozing, you're getting up and you're doing something positive for you, even if it's only sitting down and having a cup of tea or coffee, whatever your drink is, and just giving yourself 15 minutes to not do anything. Like, that's the sort of the trick with it. And then you just gradually.
And in the day, your time can just get hijacked without even trying. Like, it's amazing. You can sit in a room literally locked away, and your time will still be hijacked by others or whatever, or all the distractions we have. So that time in the night where literally, I mean, your own choices can distract you, but it takes an element of obviously discipline. But that quiet time, like you say, to put that time into yourself just would have huge benefit.
What's been interesting actually is since sort of regimenting this a bit more and going on this sort of personal like journey of like growth and inner growth is, yeah, it started off exactly what you said, like that morning time was like for me, and then I go into the craziness, like the fun house of the day. And I mean, we've got just under like 20 employees and different managers, and so there's a lot of different personalities and customers, and we own two national franchise networks, so there's 70 odd franchisees with the employees. There's a lot of people, and there's a lot of craziness that can come up on any particular day. And so when I started this process, it was very much space for me before going into the craziness. But what's happened is that as I've continued that, the consistency behind it every day without fail is that it's compounded. So then I started noticing that I was going into my day saying, this is crazy. All of this noise and all this distraction is taking me off track of where I need to be and the priorities I have for my own personal growth. So I started to restructure like my life in different ways because I had far more clarity and confidence to be able to do it. And so now my days, I wake up at 4, I go into it, but the craziness is it's all but subsided, but yet the business is bigger than ever. Like it's insane how it's how it's rolled out. And so, you know, I get 200 odd emails a day, but I like before I would have gone through every single one and replied or filed or archived. Now I barely touch my emails, but every message that is important will still get to me. You start to build new channels based around you. And so it's just been this incredible like unfolding journey that has stemmed from, you know, addictions and so many other challenges and that, and yeah, and just, you know.
So it's awesome to hear the the counterintuitive nature of it. You know, the fact that you can be, call it less busy, but more focused and achieve similar, if not greater, call it results. It takes a long time to learn and a lot of falling flat on one's face. It's remarkable that these things have led you to that place now. And I can very much relate. So it's a tradition on the show to have guests offer listeners a challenge given their own experience. And I mean, what we've just outlined is a brilliant one in terms of, like, I'm going to try this in terms of knocking the clock back just in chunks. That's a great one. Are there any others that spring to mind?
Yeah, definitely. And I've been thinking about this before coming on here. My challenge would be to get up minimum 15 minutes earlier, maximum 30 minutes, and to use that time to read 10 pages of a book. And the book can't be like some romance novel. It has to be a book that is focused on or around sort of your personal growth, whether that's you want to learn more about better financial management or spiritual, you know, relationships, health, fitness, whatever. But that book is there to help improve you as a person. But use that time specifically for that, before your day starts, before the craziness of the families and work and everything else in between comes up. So a maximum half an hour earlier, minimum 15 minutes, give you enough time to read the 10 pages. Like, use that and do that, ideally for 30 days, and just check in with yourself to see how you feel. Because my experience has been, both my personal experience and the people who I help sort of like with this like stuff, has been it's been remarkable. Like it changes people very quickly in a positive way. And all you're doing is giving, like, you're just investing in yourself. You're just giving yourself a bit more bandwidth. So I would really encourage people to try that, because it's game changing.
You're absolutely right. It's not just about the chunk of time. It's about how to use that time as well. So that you feel the benefit, and then it makes it easier to get up, as opposed to just saying, oh, I'm just going to get up early. And it's about like, how is that time going to help me grow? And you mentioned it, like compound interest on gaining that extra. So it's an awesome challenge.
Well, just to put some context on that. It's funny because I finished my most recent book yesterday, and I've just started a new one. And I keep a notepad on my iPhone. Like every time I finish reading a book, I just jot down the title. And in the last 12 months, I've read 25 books by reading 10 pages a day, like exactly what we just said there. Only 10 pages, never any more, because I want to go into the next thing in terms of like, go to do my workout, meditation, etc. But that's 25 books in 12 months, and all focused around personal development and growth. And I just look at that and think, and like recall myself reading them and thinking how they have each had an impact in helping different parts of my life at those different times. It's all just 10 pages. It takes 15 minutes max, depending on, you know, the book you read. It maybe just some 20 minutes, but such a small thing for such a massive output.
That's the compounding thing right there. I'm a slow reader, but to the fact that you can read 25 books in a year just by doing 10 pages a day, it's cool in the long term.
Super cool.
Where can people find you?
So Instagram is by far the best place. My handle is Adrian J Knight with a K. I'm very active on there. I post on my story several times a day, like sort of glimpse of different part of what I'm doing and sort of life behind sort of the business, I guess. And live, super, super active with messages and getting back to people and reaching out to people. So Instagram.
Awesome. Is there anything we haven't touched on that you'd like to share? Or, I mean, we covered a bit.
I don't think so. I think we all have challenges in our life in different areas. And I think the root sort of solution, and not a solution is the wrong word, but so much of it points back to us and to like how we live and sort of outdated mindsets and all of that. And so I suppose the only thing I really want to say is that, you know, no problem is unsurmountable. If you're going through a bad time, just keep going, because you will come out the other side. Like life is ebbs and flows, peaks and troughs. It just, yeah, it's like, I don't know. I kind of just feel like I want to say everything's okay. And I suppose that's coming from the place of where I was in such a bad place in so many different areas. And now I feel utterly blessed and grateful for everything. And I kind of look back thinking, I just never would have believed, just from a well-being perspective, it could have changed so much. And sometimes you just need to hear that when you're going through it. So
absolutely. Yeah. For anybody who might be, that's awesome. And also, you know, that thing about what's perceived threat, like you said, when you're waking up in the night, well, trying to take stock of like what's actually real here and what am I, you know, because we tell ourselves stories and can be pretty imaginative.
Yeah. Especially 3 a.m. So.
So for anyone to hear that, that's awesome. Well, I really appreciate your insights and where you're at. And it just sounds like, business, well, just everything is thriving as a result of the internal work you're doing. So exciting times ahead.
And you know, thank you so much for taking the time to, you know, have me on your podcast. I've listened to a few sort of episodes, and I'm sort of getting like right into sort of some of the back stuff, like the back episodes now, and there's just some really good content here, some really good conversations. And so, you know, thank you so much for that, and thank you for having me as a guest. I feel, you know, very honored.
I appreciate it, man. That's great to hear. And it's awesome when when a guest thinks about their challenge too, which is really cool. Well, let's stay connected and perhaps do it again in future. Thank you so much for your time.
Likewise, we'd love to.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.